This is a tradition already, 15 years Jerusalem College for adults, because we know that people go places, do things, all sorts of programs, huh? And they go see their grandchildren, that's right, the grandchildren come to them, they're happy when they come, they're happier when they go. We're all of
Smeichim
Bevoam, Besatim Betzeikam, that's right, we love our children and our grandchildren, and Chanukah Sameach. Traditionally, the shir deals with Chanukah. Today's shir is going to deal with Chanukah. Why is everybody so noisy this morning? I think they're so excited that they're going to be class next week. Yeah, everybody's so excited. Traditionally, the shir is dedicated to Chanukah, but this time I'm going to try and not only relate it to Chanukah, but to the two parshiyot of Chanukah. This year is one of those years that are about 10 or 11 in the course of each century, with Chanukah begins on Shabbos and it ends on Shabbos, so there are two Shabbos Chanukahs. That's not good Hebrew or good English. Two Shabbat Chanukah. And it will be Parshat Vayeshev and then Parshat Miketz. It means, therefore, that in most years we read the one Haftorah of Chanukah, and this year we will read both Haftarot. All right, let's begin, and we're going to do a lot of reading from our source sheet. Number one, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. This is a Rambam, an unusual Rambam. There is none other like it. The Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah says, in the laws of Chanukah, says, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah on Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It is an extremely beloved mitzvah. Now, the Rambam in his great work, the magnum opus, the Mishneh Torah, describes not only the 613 mitzvot of Torah, but also the mitzvot that were given to us by our rabbis. Never once does he describe a mitzvah as mitzvah chavivah hi ad ma'od. It is very beloved. Now, if the Rambam does this, then there must be something very special, and more than very special, something unique about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and we have to understand on what basis does the Rambam say this. Why does he describe Chanukah, and this is at the end of the laws of Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od v'tzorach adam lehizarbo, therefore a person has to be careful with the mitzvah kedei la'odia ha'nes, in order to let the miracle be known. Ulahusiv b'sheva hakel, and to add praise to God v'hodoyalo, and thanksgiving to him al hanisim she'osalonu, for the miracles that he did for us. Afilu elo ma yochal elu min hatzedakah, even if a person doesn't have what to eat and the only place he gets food is from tzedakah, sho'el omoche tzusa who borrows or he sells his garment, v'lokeach shemen v'nerot u'madlik, and you buy oil or candles and you light, because the mitzvah is chaviva hi ad ma'od. And if it's chaviva ad mi'od, therefore you go to the furthest extent in order to fulfill this mitzvah. So what we want to look for this morning is great mitzvah, greatness. It was terrific, it was beautiful, but what makes it chaviva hi ad ma'od? For that matter, maybe we can digress to another question for the moment. What was so special about the miracle altogether? Why did everybody get so excited about the miracle. In item number 2, we have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Asor Nisim Nasu La'avotenu BeBet HaMikdash. There are 10 miracles that were done for our fathers in the Beth HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles, many of them that occurred every day in the Beth HaMikdash. Lo Yipilo Yishon Me'er B'Sar HaKodesh, a woman did not lose a child because of the intense smell or of the meat. Lo Yisriyar B'Sar HaKodesh Me'olam, the holy meat never rotted. V'lo nirez vuv bebet hamidbachayim, there wasn't a fly. A fly, they were talking about hundreds of thousands of animals that are brought, not a fly. V'lo eira keri l'koin gadol b'yom hakipurim, the Kohen Gadol didn't have a seminal emission on Yom Kippur, which would have made him unfit to do the sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash. Can you imagine the fire on the Mizbeach, which was out in the open, it never went out, it was never extinguished. Even rain, there were times that it rained in Eretz Yisrael. And we look forward in Yetz Hashem that that should happen again. A downpour did not in any way affect the fire on the Mizbeach. The smoke that came up from the Mizbeach went in a straight pillar of smoke heavenward, and the wind did not cause it to bend. I always have a feeling that what's involved over here is that the Bnei Shalom, God does not want that his Mizbeach, his altar, the smoke on his altar, should pollute the environment of Yerushalayim. And therefore, the smoke that came from the Mizbeach always went upward straight and never came into the city of Yerushalayim. These are miracles every day. That means every day, you'd be walking through Yerushalayim, you'd take a look toward the Beis HaMikdash, and you'd see it's windy, it's Sturmzach, there's a hurricane out there. I don't know, we don't get hurricanes here. There's a monsoon out there, but we don't get monsoons out there. All right. There's something going on out there, and the smoke on the Mizbeach continues to go heavenward. There was never anything that caused the sacrifice of the Omer that is brought on the second day Pesach to be unfit, or the two breads that were brought on Shavuos, Ubelechem Hapanim, the bread that was placed every week, the 12. By the way, here is another miracle that isn't even listed in the 10 miracles. The Lechem Hapanim, the Gemara says, it was warm and fresh when you took it off the Mizbeach, as when you brought it piping hot onto the Mizbeach. It was there for a period of 8 days. In other words, like Hanukkah, it started, you brought it on Shabbos, and the following Shabbos you would take it, a miracle. People would stand in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, who knows how many people were there, and they were all sort of crushed together, but when they would bow down, everybody would have place. Snake nor scorpion never caused harm in Yerushalayim, ever. And no one ever said, you know, I don't have any place where to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. There was always place for all the Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim. So I'm asking the following question. If there were so many ongoing, incessant, and constant miracles in the Beit HaMikdash, why did they all get so excited about a jar of oil that lasted a few days more than it should have lasted? The Beit HaMikdash was a place of miracles. So what? They get so excited that they make a yontif for all time to light the menorah 8 days of Chanukah. Number three is a Pnei Yehoshua, one of the Achronim on Masechet Shabbat. And for that whole shtickle, I've told you most of it already. He asks the question. He asks the question, what was so special about the miracle of the menorah? What was so special? There were 10 miracles and more every day. And the fact is, the Gemara throughout lists all sorts of other things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a place that was replete, overflowing with miracles. A new, big deal. The most important lines, I think just the two lines that I have underlined down at the bottom. The reason why our rabbis established a yontif called Chanukah, Lekach nasa lehen neis b'zeho inyan mamash ba'otan hayamim shahaya eit ratzon. There was a special reason why this miracle was done in those days. It was after a period of years during which the Beit HaMikdash had been defiled and was in disuse, and the Chashmonaim come in and they begin to light the menorah again. And by the way, there are other questions that are asked by Old Mephoshim, and the Pnei Yeshua asks it. The most important one of them all is, there's a general rule. Tum'ah hutra b'tzibur. If something is spiritually unclean, it's tameh. Hutra b'tzibur. Anything that is done for the tzibur, you're permitted to do it, even if it's tamei. A sacrifice that becomes tamei, it's a sacrifice for the tzibur, you can use it. Tumah utra b'tzibur. Halacha. If tumah is permitted b'tzibur, so why couldn't they use the oil that was impure? It says the Chashmonaim came into the Beit HaMikdash and they only found one jar of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. The only one that had Badat stamped on it. All the rest of them had been defiled. Intentionally defiled by the Greeks. So use one that's defiled. What are you making yourself crazy looking all over in order to find a jar of oil that is pure? So use that which is impure. So what? The halacha permits it. He says, when they saw the miracle, that jar of oil continued burning into the next night, the last words in the Pnei Yeshua are, Lehodia shechazru lechibatan harishona. These are powerful words of the Pnei Yeshua. There had been a period of time during which the relationship between God and the Jewish people had been severed. And do you know what this miracle showed them at that moment? That there's a return of the original love that God had for the Jewish people. Chazru l'chibason harishona. No, people can have a difficult falling out, and then sometimes making up is, you know, be good, but the relationship is not what it was before. But if the relationship becomes the same love as before, well, that's a tremendous accomplishment. The Pnei Yeshua says, what thrilled the Jewish people, that the Pach HaShemen, the jar of oil, lasted for 8 days, was an indication from heaven, everything is forgiven, everything is forgotten, we, God and the Jewish people, have returned to their original love. If that's what the menorah signifies, the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, is it possible that that's why the Rambam says mitzvah chaviva hi ad mi'od. It is a very beloved mitzvah because it represents and it demonstrates the love of God to the Jewish people. But that's only step one. We have a great deal more to say. The fact is, the idea of the nes of Hanukkah and the mitzvah therefore being very beloved appears in halacha as well. You'll take a look at number 8. Same side of the sheet. Now I tell you, I sat for an hour last night moving around my little pieces on this piece of paper, you know, before I started doing my finger painting and all the rest of it. I tried to put them in order, it never works. There's an unusual halacha by Chanukah. The halacha is, and that's a tesis in the Sefer Sukkah, Haroa Ner Shel Chanukah Chayav Levarech. There is no halacha. Tesis is going to talk about this. If somebody, for some reason or other, cannot light the menorah, but is walking in the street, and he sees a Chanukah menorah. So you have to say a bracha. Now, on the first night of Hanukkah, we say 3 brachas. The first one is Lahadlik Neshel Hanukkah. The second is Sha'asa Nisin La'avotenu, God that did miracles to our fathers by Yonah Mahim Bazan Hazeh. And the third one is Sheikh Yonah V'kimonah V'kiyonah. Now, the person who sees Ner Hanukkah, of course, doesn't say the bracha of Lahadlik to light, but he says she'asa nisim la'avoseinu and she'echiyonu. But remember, the circumstances are rare and unique. In other words, somebody who, for whatever reason it is, justifiable reason, cannot and will not be able to light Ner Chanukah. But he sees Ner Chanukah. So our rabbi said you have to say a bracha. So Tosis asks, there is no such halacha by any other mitzvah Torah. Is there a halacha that says if I see a pair of tefillin and I can't put on tefillin, or I see tzitzis, or I see a sukkah, or I see a shafer, and I can't fulfill the mitzvah for whatever legitimate reason it is, so I should say a bracha? So Tosfos says, why is there a bracha when you see Ner Chanukah, you're walking innocently in the street? So he says, you'll see it underlined over there. He says, because of chavivus and nes. Tosis also uses the word, because the nes is beloved. There's something beloved about this nes. And so far we have explained the belovedness, because it's an indication that the relationship between God and the Jewish people has been not only repaired, not only mended, but it's invisible mending. It's like it never was. The break or the rupture in the relationship between God and the Jewish people is as though it never was. There is a difference in halacha between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Ner Shabbos, let's say it goes out, candle goes out during Shabbos and there's more candle left. You're allowed to use the candle, light it another time. What about all the oil that's left at the end of Chanukah? You had oil, not oil in the bottle. Oil that was in the menorah. Kodesh. Holy. Can't use it. Ner Shabbos. I can use it for whatever purpose I want. Ner Chanukah? Can't do that. It becomes holy. And the Gemara says, why is it, what is the holiness of Ner Chanukah? Because of Chavivut HaMitzvah, because of the love of the mitzvah, when a person puts oil into the Chanukah menorah, he sets it all aside for the mitzvah of Chanukah. And therefore, if it will go out, and or there's oil that's left at the end of Chanukah, that oil is sanctified and holy, because man has set it aside. Why? Because of the love of the mitzvah. I'll give you another example where it's wrong. There are some mitzvahs where the bracha that we say is le, and there are some brachas where we say au. You know what I mean? Al netilat lulav. Al netilat yadayim. Anybody else have an owl? With an ayin. Al achilas matzah, al achilas maror. Then there are other brachas that are with a la. Lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos, okay. Likro et ahalel. What was that? Likro, yes, to read the Megillah. Or Likro et ahalel. So there are all sorts of opinions. When do you say al? Or when did our rabbis say that you say a bracha of al? And when do you say la? So there's a rush. Rabbi Moshe says the following. And he says he brings one of the Rishonim who says, a mitzvah that can be done through an agent, you use al. In other words, because I'm making a bracha about the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't necessarily have to be done by me. It can be done by anybody. So therefore, al. Le means to do something. So there, where there is a mitzvah that I have to do it, then we use le. Likro et ha-halel. I can't pay an agent to say Hallel for me. Huh? Oh, so, don't begin to ask me all of the individual questions because maybe that's the problem. That's why there's Li Hitatev. That's it, right? There's a tremendous amount of literature on the few brachas that don't fit into the category. And the fact is that there are all sorts of different opinions as to the difference between al and la. It's a legitimate question. I only want to give you the one that the Rosh brings, because the Rosh says that there's a difference. Al is when it is a mitzvah that can be done through a shaliach. La is when I have to do it myself. So then he asks the question, Lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, you know that I can have somebody light candles for me? Absolutely. Fact is, a husband or wife, for example, if one of them cannot be home candle lighting time and they want the candles to be lit at time, you can say, do me a favor, light the candles for me. Light the candles for me. I remember what was December of 83, I went with Rabbi Mala Galinsky, we went to Russia. Those were the days that you didn't just come flying back and forth between Russia. It was I was a secret agent. This was 007 in the flesh, but scared. Yeah, it's the only difference. So we weren't sure whether we were going to be all of Hanukkah, then we weren't sure whether we would be able to light wherever we went, scared. So we lived in a hotel in Moscow, made sure that the curtains were were closed, and then we went to the home of a number of refuseniks and others. They opened the windows, a big menorah, you understand? I was so embarrassed. The Jew from Eretz Yisrael is a scaredy cat who lights behind the curtains, and this was a form of defiance. Hanukkah was big time, big defiance. Anyway, the important thing is the Rosh, Rabbi Rosh, brings the Rivor who says that a mitzvah that can be done through a shliach, you say al. A mitzvah that a person has to do himself, you say la. So the question is, since Ner Hanukkah, you can do it through a shliach, So the bracha should have been al ner Chanukah, not le. So the Rosh says, even though ner Chanukah can be done through a shaliach, but because of, what am I going to say? Chavivut HaMitzvah. Because of the Chavivut HaMitzvah, even though we can appoint somebody to do it for us, every Jew tries to do it himself. Not only tries to do it himself, each individual member of the family light the candle. And even though you can be Yotzer with one candle, we do one, two, three, four, until eight. So there's the idea of Chavivut HaMitzvah, that the mitzvah is beloved. And since the mitzvah is beloved, so therefore we understand what the Rambam is saying when he says that mitzvah ner Chanukah chaviva hi ab ma'od. We can also understand that there's really a question that our last year's shir was dedicated to. Fact is that when the Mishnah was written and the Talmud, there's an entire Masechet in the Talmud that deals with Purim, Masechet Megillah. Chanukah only appears sort of as a, by the way, in the second parak of Masechet Shabbos, where it's talking about lighting the Shabbos candles, the Gemara asks the question, my Chanukah, what's Chanukah? And there are two, three pages in the Gemara that deal with Chanukah, but there is no complete Masechta for Chanukah. Chatam Sofer is the one who asked this question. And the fact is that the Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah, says that there is no Masechta that deals with Tefillin, or with Tzitzis, or with Mezuzah. And he says because these things were so well known, they were so common, and I mean common in the fact that people did it every day, they knew there was no necessity to make a masechet. It may very well be that the last miracle that took place before the Mishnah and the Talmud were written, the last miracle was the miracle of Chanukah. And because the miracle of Chanukah was chaviva hi ad mi'od, it was so beloved, Klal Yisrael knew. Klal Yisrael was involved. The mitzvah was one of such great significance and such great importance. It was so beloved that there was no necessity to write a masechet, because chaviva hi ad mi'od. Part one. Everything is going to start coming together soon. The number seven. This is the first Rambam in Hilchot Chanukah. The Bayit Sheni, during the period of the Second Temple, Kishalochu Yavon, when Greece ruled, Gozlu Gzeirot HaGzor, they decreed against Israel, Ubitlu Datam. They tried to destroy their religion. They didn't let them study Torah or do mitzvot. They stretched out their hands against the money of Israel and the women of Israel. They went into the Beit HaMikdash and they made breaches and they defiled that which was holy and pure. But Sarlaham the Yisrael, the Omi Pneum, and Israel was in terrible straits because of them. Ulachatsum Lachas Godol, and they placed great pressure upon the Jewish people. Next sentence. Arpshadicham Aleim Elokeiroteinu. Until the God of our fathers have mercy upon them, the Hoshiyah Miyadam. And he saved them from their hands, from the hands of Greece, the Tzilon, and rescued them. The Gavru B'nei Chashmonoi, our Kohanim, our Gedolim, the sons of the Chashmonoi, the Kohanim Gedolim, became stronger over them, the Harogum, and killed them, the Hoshiyu Yisrom, the other, and saved Israel from their hands, the Hamidu Melech, and our Kohanim, and they appointed a king from the Kohanim, the Chosra Malchut, the Yisrael, Yeter Amotayim Shona, am HaKurban HaSheni. And kingdom returned to the Jewish people for more than 200 years until the destruction of the Second Temple. In past years, we've commented about this Rambam. There are those who would lead us to believe that the victory was only a spiritual one and not a political or a military one. So the Rambam puts that to rest, and he says that kingdom returned, independence, they achieved independence. The fact is that the Jewish people had not been independent since Bayit Rishon, when they returned after the 70 years of the Babylonian exile. Eretz Yisrael was part of the Persian Empire. Persian Empire gave way to the Greek Empire, so they were a vassal state throughout. Independence was achieved only by the Hashmonaim, and by the way, not at the time of Hanukkah. It took about 25 years later, the struggle went on. And I assume that the struggle continued because they understood that there will be religious freedom only as long as there is political independence. If you don't have sovereignty and you're dependent on somebody else, then there is no guarantee that there will be freedom of expression and religion. And therefore they knew that they have to destroy the Greek hold over Eretz Yisrael, because Greece, not only did it want to enslave the Jewish people and occupy them, but it also wanted to bring Greek culture. Their great message was Greek culture. And Greek culture was, of course, a clash of the Titans, the two Greek culture and Judaism. Interesting that the Rambam, in a number of other places, he tells us what a terrible period of time it was. And in Numbers 5 and Numbers 6, I give you two other sources. I cite two other sources from the Rambam. The Igeret Kiddush Hashem, the letter of the sanctification of God's name that was written by the Rambam. So he says, that's number 5. The Yaduahu Kamokain, and it's also known, we know what happened to the Jewish people during the days of the kingdom of evil Greece. Migzedot kashot v'da'ot, heavy and bad decrees, umiklolam hoya, and amongst them, shelo yizgur odom et petach beto. This the Rambam didn't say in the Yad HaZaka, but he says it there. There was a law prohibiting Jews from closing the door of their homes. You couldn't have a Rav Bariach because they wanted to be able to come in at any moment and see if, God forbid, I don't think they would have said that, God forbid a Jew is fulfilling a mitzvah, couldn't lock your home. Kedei shelo yityached litasek b'shum mitzvah, so that a person should never feel that he's alone and can do any mitzvah. V'im kol zeh lok ra'um chachameinu zichron l'vrocha le'goyim v'lo rishoyim elo tzadikim gemurim. The context in which the Rambam is saying this, the Rambam is saying you have to be very, very careful when you speak about the Jewish people. And he lists a whole bunch of Gedolei Yisrael who said something that was negative about the Jewish people, and God struck them down. Beginning with Moshe. Moshe said at the Sneh, Hein lo yaminu li, they won't believe me, v'lo yishmu b'koli, they're not going to listen to my voice. God gets angry with him and says, what are you talking about? You're going to tell me that the Jewish people are not going to listen to you? So later on he tells him, put your hand in your cloak, take it out, and his hand had tzorat on it. Don't talk about my people. Yeshayahu in chapter 6 says, I am in the midst of an am tmei svatayim, I'm in the midst of a people whose lips are unclean. So it says that a malach flew over with a burning coal and put it on his lips. And he says, now you've been cleaned. And in later years it was Ajax or something else with which you clean out over here. You have to kasha. Yeshayahu's mouth. Because the Bereshit said, you can't talk that way about Klal Yisrael. Can't talk that way about the Jewish people. So he says, Chazal referred to the Jews who lived at the time of the Hashmonaim as tzaddikim, even though they were incapable of fulfilling mitzvahs. V'hitchananu ba'adam, v'hem sifu b'hechaneka al hanisim ad urishoyim b'yad tzaddikim. In other words, even though Jews were incapable of fulfilling mitzvahs, for whatever reason it may be, tzaddikim, they haven't done mitzvahs, but they are tzaddikim. And therefore in our Hanisim we say, Rishon B'yad Tzaddikim. Then there's the Rambam in the Igeret, Penon number 6, his letter to the Jews of Yemen. And we had once discussed it, the Jews of Yemen were going through an extremely difficult period of time. And the Rambam sent them a letter of great encouragement. So you'll see the part that's underlined, V'chein Ida B'vayit Shemi. So too it happened in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, Kishagogra Malchut Yavon HaRashah, when the hand of evil Greece became strong, the Gozum Shmados Gedolos Mishunas HaYisrael, and they decreed Shmad, great Shmad, and terrible things upon the Jewish people, La'abed Hadat, to destroy the religion. The Gozum Aleim, they decreed upon them Chil Shabbos Ul HaFer Brit Mila. Rambam hasn't said this yet, now he says that as well, no Shabbos and no Mila. And by the way, that's the famous Chazal that says that their name was Chashmonoi, because the Greeks had decreed against Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. Chashmochet Shin Mem. Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, and Mila. And we once gave a whole shiur on why the Greeks were opposed to Rosh Chodesh, and we may add something very important to that shiur right away. Anyway, v'shiyichtov kol echad miyisrael b'levusho she'en lam chelek v'ashem elokei Yisrael. In a sense, what the Greeks want was like a yellow emblem. Jews should write upon their garments that we have no share in the God of Israel. We reject the God of Israel. Chazal say that they wanted them on the horns of their oxen. It should say, we have no share, we have no relationship with the God of Israel, and then use the oxen in order to plow, so that the Jew sees before his very eyes, no God, we have no share with the God of Israel. We're talking about terrible, terrible times. I mean, today we look at the Greeks as a pitiful bunch of jokers. They weren't pitiful, and they weren't a bunch of jokers. Antiochus most probably was one of the cruelest people ever to have held sway over Eretz Yisrael. All right. So the Rambam goes on, and he says, "Va'amdu b'gzeira zuk mochamishim u'shtayim shana, 52 years. It was a period of 52 years. You know what 52 years is? To survive such terrible, terrible gzeiras for a period of 52 years. V'achkach ibeid hakodesh baruch hu mishaltam adolteim, and then God destroyed their kingdom and their laws, yachad together. Our rabbis say in many places, Pam achas gozra malchut hayavon harishah shmad al Yisrael, v'shalom al Yisrael. Our rabbis say, you know, one time evil Greece decreed against the Jewish people such and such, but the end is shalom al Yisrael. God destroyed. All right. So taking you now one step further, let's look at that Rambam number 7 again, where he tells us the story of what happened during the period of the Second Temple. Ad, the important line that we're going to deal with now is, Ad she'richam aleihem Elokei Avoteinu, until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them, Vahushiyam miyadam miyitzilam, and he saved them from their hands, and he rescued them. Turn over to the other side, and we'll see how important this is. Number 12. Left hand side of the page. Medrash. Vayihini Kate Shnosayim Yamim. We're going to deal now basically with the end of Parshat Vayeshev and the beginning of Parshat Mikates. What happened at the end of Parshat Vayeshev, first Shabbos Chanukah this year? Yosef is in prison, and the baker and the butler are in prison with him. And they both dream. And Yosef sees them in the morning, they're both terribly upset. And he interprets their dream. And he tells the, where's Marichomesh over here? He tells the butler and the baker exactly what's going to happen to them.
13.
Yeah. So he tells them, the butler, he says, will be returned to his original position. The baker is going to be hung. And at the end of the seventh, it says, "By he, by Yom HaShlishi," on the third day after their dream, and Yosef had told them all of this is going to take place for 3 days. By Yas Mishta lechol avodav, he made a party for all of his servants. By Yisad Rosh Sarah Mashkin, that Rosh Sarah Ofim betoch avodav, he singled out the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim. By Yoshev at Sarah Mashkim al Mashkeu, he returned the butler to his butlerhood. Vayik and Akos al Kaf Paru, and he was there, and he was the one who gave to drink to Paru. They Sar Ha'ofim Tola, and the baker was hung. Kasher Patal and Yosef, as Yosef had interpreted. V'lo zocha Sar Hamashkim et Yosef Vayishkochehu. The Sar Hamashkim, the butler, did not remember Yosef, Vayishkochehu, and he forgot him. Because earlier, a few psukim earlier, it said the following, that he tells the butler, you are going to be returned to your position. You know what I would like you to do when you are back in power? Kim zechartani itcha. Remember me. I'm reading Pasuk Yudalot toward the end of Vayeshev. Ki im zechartani itcha, remember me with you. Kashe yitavloch, when it will be good for you. Vasita noim adi chesed, and do with me kindness. Vihizkartani el paro, remember me to paro. Vahotzei tani min abayet hazeh, and take me out of this house. Get me out of here. And the end was, V'lo zocha sar hamashkim, the sar hamashkim didn't remember Yosef, vayishkocheyu, and he forgot him. There's even a medrash that says that he put knots in his tie every day. That's the hoyakoshek shodim. He made knots so that he should remember to tell Paro. And every day he forgets. The Rebbe Yishon made sure that he forgot. Immediately after this, it says, "Vayihi miketz shnatayim yomim," and it came to pass at the end of 2 years. Uparo cholei, and Paro dreams. Vehine oved al hayor, he's standing on the river. You're most probably thinking to yourself, "What's going on over here? We were talking about Chanukah, we were talking about the Ramadan, and now we're talking about the butler, the baker, the end of Vayeshev, Yosef, the dream of Paro." The beginning of Miketz. Have faith. Have faith that it's all going to be related. So we were learning number 12. The Medrash, Vayihi Miketz Shnatayim Yamim, it was at the end of 2 years. Ketz Som Lachoshech. There's a pasuk in Iyov says, there's an end to darkness. Zman Natan La'olam Kama Shonim Yasu Ba'afelo. So in general terms, what it means is that God has destined the number of years that the world will be in darkness, and then the light will come. Alright? And then will come a period that the Yetzer Hara, darkness, evil, will be removed from the world. After the space, Tavarachar, Ketz Som Lachoshech, Zman Natan LeYosef, Kamal Shani Miyasef Ha'afela, the Beit Ha'al Sugin. This medrash is awesome. By Yehini Kates, the end of 2 years, there was a time limit that God had established. Zman Atam V'Yosef, Kamal Shani Miyasef Ha'afela, the Beit Ha'al Sugin. There was a specific amount of time that Yosef was supposed to be in jail, in the darkness of the dungeon. Kasher Gia Hakates, Cholam Paro Chalom. When the end of Yosef's term in prison comes, Paro dreams. So there's a magnificent Bet HaLevi, and I don't know how I overlooked it all these years. I must have known it and just, you know, I was in a forgetting mode. Number 9 is the Beit HaLevi. By Yehini Kates, Shnatayim Yomim, Uparo Cholein. It was at the end of 2 years and Paro dreams. Olav HaMedrash. So he brings the Medrash. Hareihu Dechtiv. This is what it means when it says, Kates Som LaChoshach. There's an end to darkness. Kates Som LeYosef. Kamo Yiyah B'Beit HaYosef. There was an end to the amount of time that Yosef has to be in prison. Kiven shehigia hakeitz uparo cholei. Once the time comes, Paro dreams. Biur divrei hamedrash. The Bet HaLevi, the first Reb Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik says, the meaning of the medrash is the following. The bechol dovah shebaolam yesh siva u'mesuvah. Everything in the world, there is the reason, the cause, and what results from the cause. Cause and effect. Sipo is cause, misubo is the effect. A person buys something, a stock, and he makes loads of money. On my yontik mit geld, the stock market is he made money because he bought the right thing at the right time. I will bear metal ta'ut. Beit HaLevi says it's a mistake. It's not because he bought the stock which seems to us to be the cause that led to the effect of his becoming wealthy. Do you know why he bought the stock? Because in heaven they decided, the Rebbeinu decides he wants this fellow to get rich. It's a mistake. It's not the cause that brought him the great wealth. In heaven they decided that he should have money. That the effect was that he bought the stock. It depends what's the cause and what's the effect. We, when we look at it with Einei Basar V'Dam, the eyes of flesh and blood, we see the man made a killing. He bought the stock. That's the cause. And the effect is he became rich. But the real cause is the one that we don't know. In other words, his buying the stock is not the cause. His buying the stock is the effect. The cause is because they decided on that Rosh Hashanah and Bashamayim that this fellow is going to get rich. So therefore, he now chooses to buy the stock. The Beit HaLevi is going to say the following. If we read the Parsha in Torah, we might be left with the impression that the reason why Yosef was freed from prison is because Paro dreamt. Wrong! Because Yosef has to be removed from prison, therefore Paro dreams. It's at the end of 2 years, which means the time for Yosef to be in prison is now over. Therefore, Paro dreams. Paro's dream is not the cause of Yosef's freedom. Yosef's freedom is the cause for Pharaoh's dream. Since the end of his 2 years are up, therefore, we have to get him out. See how the Revelation gets him out? Uparo cholei, Paro dreams. Then let's go look further into the Beit HaLevi. V'nitzosh comes out Harevach, the prophet that this person is supposed to get, that's the cause. Who are Siva? Ukniat haschora, and buying the stock, that was the effect. K'dei shar yodom yi ha'tachlus ha'mirtzah. Through that will come the God's purpose. V'chein kam, same thing here. Kash asher lefi aseichel hoyo da'achalom shel paro hu ha'siva shiyotsu mimenu zehamesu v'shiyotsu yosef mitvisa. When you look at the parsha simply, it seems the cause is Paro's dream. The effect is that Yosef is now removed from jail. It's not so. It's precisely the opposite. The ikker is the most important thing, is now the time is up for Yosef to come out of prison. That's the cause. You know what the effect is? So Paro has to dream now, so that Yosef can get out. The Chalom Paro in the Suv. The Zeu Shom at that point, that's what the Medrash says, by Yehini Keit Shnosayim Yomim. At the end of 2 years, Shenishlam Zman Shel Yosef, Yosef's time is up. Ufaro Cholein, Paro dreams. The Zeu Sivivah Shechalom Paro. This is why Paro dreamt. And that's why the Medrash brings the Pasuk, Keit Som Lachoshech. There's an end to darkness. The end has come. That's the cause, and everything else is the effect. We had said this in a completely different context, and I'm just, one of these days, whenever I say that shir again from a few years ago, we will learn it. How does Jewish history work? You remember the question we asked? We asked then the question, did Jews come to Sinai because they left Egypt, or did they leave Egypt, were they taken out of Egypt in order to arrive at Sinai? In other words, did they come to Sinai and receive Torah because they went out of Egypt? The Rebbe takes 2-3 million Jews out of Egypt, and he doesn't know what to do with them. Oh! Rather than in the desert, come, I'll take you to Sinai, I'll give you Torah. Obviously, that was not what happened. What happened was that because God wanted to give Torah to the Jewish people, he took them out of Egypt. So you know what that means? That shiur was based on the idea that Jewish history does not work in chronological fashion. Jewish history is not A, B, and C. Cause and effect. Jewish history is determined by the ultimate goal and the objective. The Rebbe Shalom wants to give Torah, he'll take them out of Egypt. It means the latter event is that which dictates the fuller event. No other people in the world ever have had a history of that sort, where the latter event is that which causes the former. Cause and effect do not affect the Jewish people. If it would be the natural cause and effect, then we would be like all other peoples and empires who rise and then fall and disappear. But since there's an ultimate goal and an objective that there will be Geula and there will be a Malchus Beis David and Binyan Beit HaMikdash, so we keep making our way through history despite all of the prophets of doom. Because it doesn't work chronologically, it works by divine intervention. So therefore, cause and effect over here would seem, Paro dreams, you need somebody to interpret the dream. Ah, he remembers Yosef. Yosef comes out of prison, and Yosef is out of prison because Paro dreamt. Wrong. Vayihimi keish nosayu yomim, the 2 years that have been decreed upon Yosef that he should remain in prison are over. That's the cause for Paro's dream. Now Paro is going to dream that's going to get him out. Completely different view of history. I want to say that's what the Rambam means.
Take a look at that Rambam again on the first side, number 7. Klal Yisrael went through a terrible period of time under the Greeks. Asher richam aleihem Elokei Avoteinu. Until God had mercy upon them and he saved and rescued them. V'gavru b'nei chashmonoi, do you see the order of things as the Rambam says? We could have looked at it and said, things were so terrible, the chashmonoim became strong and fought, guerrilla warfare, overwhelmed the Greeks. The Rambam's perfect, classic way the Rambam writes it. The cause is not the chashmonoim, the cause is richam aleihem, God, the God of our fathers, had mercy upon them. Therefore the chashmonoim are strong. Therefore they're able to bring down Greece. The order is Kates, son Lachoshech, the precisely the pasuk that the Medrash brings by Yosef. Kates, son Lachoshech, there's an end. God has decreed that there's an end to darkness. Therefore, Paro Cholein, therefore, Paro dreams. God, Richam Aleihem, God had mercy upon the Jewish people, because God has mercy, now the Chashmonaim are able to rise and do battle with and ultimately be victorious over a major power. The Ravim Biyad Miyatim Utmein Biyatol. The Rambam is beautiful. The Rambam is absolutely beautiful. Yeah? Yes. Oh, of course there's free will. If the Chashmonaim would not have wanted to take up the struggle, nothing would have happened. No. That, the choice to stand up against Greece is their own decision. That God has created the potential for victory. But he does not create victory. You have to go out there and do it. You know. By the way, they had to put oil into the menorah and light it. And only after they put oil in the menorah and lit it, and it went for 24 hours, only then did it go the next 24 and the next 24. Without man's input, nothing will help. I thought you would ask a better question. You know what the better question is? Why is Yosef punished for 2 years? That he has to stay another 2 years in jail? Because he said to the Sar HaMashkim, the Medrash says, because he said to the Sar HaMashkim twice, Uzechartani, what were the two words? He said, Ki in Zechartani itcha, remember me with you, Kashi Tavlov, Vasisona Yimod Yichosed, his kartani el paro. He said twice, remember me to Paro. You have the Rashi on the set back on the first side. You're on the first side right now? Alright? So there's Rashi number 4. The underlined Rashi. V'lo zochar sar hamashkim, the sar hamashkim, the butler did not remember. Bo v'yom. V'yishvachel la'achar mikan. He forgot him afterwards when they should tolapo Yosef Lizakro, because Yosef told this Sar HaMashkim to remember him. Huzkak liyot asur shteishanim. He had to be imprisoned for another 2 years. Shenema, Ashrei hagever asher som Hashem iftako. Fortunate is man who places his trust in God. V'lo pona el rehovim, and doesn't turn to rehovim nonsense. In Tanakh, one of the terms by which Mitzrayim is described is Rahav. Rahav means conceit, pompous, all puffed up with their own importance, but you can't depend on them further than you can throw them. And turn again, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Hosea. Don't depend on Mitzrayim. You can't depend on Mitzrayim. So because Yosef said, remember me, therefore decreed on him another 2 years. The question is, where does free will enter into this? Why didn't he, doesn't he have to do something in his own behalf? Yes, what's your question? Oh, that's the question we're asking. Well, is Yosef simply supposed to sit in jail and twiddle his thumbs? Why shouldn't Yosef have the right to think, why did these people dream? Why is one of them going to be, freed and returned to his original position of power so that I can have protection? The Revention, this is the rowboat that the Revention sent me, right? Okay? Right. So why is he punished? Why is he punished? So the Brisk Rav, that is Rafael Bumi Brisk, a grandson of the Beis HaLevi, says, because Yosef said twice, remember me. If all that Yosef is doing is, Yosef has to take some step on his own behalf, would have been enough if he says once, remember me. When he says the second time, remember me, then you know what it seems to indicate? He really wants this Mitzri, Sarah Mashkin, to save him. So you know what? 2 years in prison. Brisker Rav said very beautiful, Rav Chaim Brisk, the son of the Beit HaLevi. The son of the Beit HaLevi said the following. Why does he get 2 years in prison? If the first time he said remember me is legitimate and it's justifiable, more than justifiable, he has an obligation to do it. So what was Yosef's error the second time that he said it? If the second time that he said it is the problem, so Rav Chaim asks, why doesn't he get 1 year? Why 2 years? So Rav Chaim says, once he says the second time, Zechartani, you should remember me. Do you know what it means? It means that he really wants this mitzvah to help him. So the first one is also illegitimate. The first one is also wrong. If the first one time he says Zechartani is because, listen, I know that this fella is a plachal of Atala. This Sarah Mashkin isn't going to do me anything. But I have a responsibility. Okay, listen. You know, remember me. You know, remember me to the Paro. But when he says it the second time, it means that Yosef may on some level really think that this is where it's going to come from. And therefore, the first one is also unacceptable, and therefore he gets 2 years in prison. On your sheet, I have the Chazon Ish, number 11 on the second side. V'hinei mashen nenash Yosef, shenitvas kulo shtei shanim. Here we see it very clearly. What I've just told you, you'll see it clear. Yosef was punished. Shenitvas kulo shtei shanim. 2 years were added. Liyot v'beit asun to be in prison. Al shoah, because he said 2 times, Zechartani v'hizkartani. Perish madana chazonish zatzal. The chazonish said the following, in the Sefer Emunah B'tochen, Perek Bein Zofar. The Av Sheroi La'odam Vasut, he shtablut v'lo l'smach unless, even though it's correct for a person to do what he can and not to depend on a miracle. Mikol makom haboter v'ashem osa he shtablus he's going to take us one step further so that we'll understand Rashi and the Medrash. He says that if what you're doing is because you don't want to depend on a miracle, you feel that there's a responsibility, you know that there's a responsibility for man to act on his own behalf. You can't just sit around and wait for a miracle to happen. Because if you sit around and wait for a miracle to happen, then you are asking for a revealed miracle. Who is worthy of a revealed miracle? Every miracle has to be, in a sense, concealed within the fabric of daily life. So I have a responsibility to do something. When do I fulfill that responsibility? If I do something that could conceivably help in the normal order of things.
what happens if I do something that couldn't really help in the normal order of things? Then I have not fulfilled my responsibility of doing what I should do. Depending on this Sarah Mashkim and on Mitzrayim is not even taking the first logical step to save yourself. Because you can't depend on them. By the way, Torah is eternal. If the Navi time and time again says you can't depend on Mitzrayim, it means not only you can't depend on Mitzrayim of old, you can't depend on Mitzrayim of today. And anybody who thinks you can depend on Mitzrayim today is living in an absolute dream world. They are the worst anti-Semites in the world. I don't know. Mitzrayim happens to be the country that produces more anti-Semitic literature than any other place on the face of this earth. If you want the protocols of the Elders of Zion in any language, you can get it in downtown Cairo, I think.
Chazonish. Mikomach Mahabotel Hashem Osa Hishtabu Bipulot Shevem Ta'ela Levita Ot Ayan. A person who wants to be Yotze, do that which is necessary in order, you know, I have to do something on my own behalf. So you do something that at least to a normal way of looking is going to be helpful. He's not going to do things that are distant from any kind of help. You're not going to do something that simply you know in advance is meaningless.
A person who doesn't have faith in God is because of his despair. He's going to do things, he's going to be clutching a straw. That's not a bad metaphor I use. God, what a...
Well, we learned the pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Sanchedev, king of Asher, says, you can't depend on Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is like a straw with a sharp edge. If you want to lean on it, it's going to go straight through your arm.
Oh, so that means that metaphor just came out, you know.
It's clutching on a straw, Mitzrayim.
So he says, Ki hamiyuash osa kol ma sheyochol af shelechok mikol toelu. A person who is in despair is going to do anything, even though the chances of it helping are very slim. He translates it as people, forgetful people. But that's not really what the Rav in Tanakh usually means, conceited. Well, let's say, maybe in justification, I would say the following. Mitzrayim don't have friends. They only have interests. And whatever is their interest is what they're going to do. I mean, I think de Gaulle said it about France, and recently I heard it in the name of some great Englishman. I imagine every country, they have somebody who said it in whatever language it is, that nations and countries don't have friends, you have interests. Whatever is in our interest at the particular moment, that's the way I'm going to conduct myself. So he says further, To ask for a tiger from the Egyptians, Hadesun Tuula Rachokak Tsatmiyato Mituela, Kilofi Tuna Karahavan, Ain Bitibal Disgorahate. He's not going to remember you, forget it! The Yosef Hatsadik Avshiyoda, Shein Hatsalosu Tuyo Bishtabus, Akomi Hashem, Avuchiyav Atsmo Bechovas Hayishtabus. Yosef understands that it all depends on God. Except that he has a responsibility to do something on his own behalf. But he chooses the wrong thing to do. To place his faith or his trust in this Sar HaMashkin. Yeah? What could he have done? Oh, according to the Rav Chaim, he could have said once, Uzachar Tani, remember me. In other words, what he's showing by that is, listen to Rabbi Yishon, The only one you sent to me, the only robot you sent to me, is the Sarah Marshall. So I have to fulfill my obligation of Ishtablus. So you know what? I'm going to tell him Zachartani. Remember. Okay, I was Yaitzer. But when he says the second time to remember, that's what's bad. Yes?
When did he talk about his prayer in prison?
I don't know. Moshe's asking if anybody talks about his prayer in prison, what he prayed for. He must have prayed. I'm sure that he prayed every day. Must have cried his eyes out every day. I don't know. Which means the following. By the way, I am afraid to say I've only scratched the surface of the relationship between Hanukkah and Parashiyot Vayeshev and Nikkeitz, which leaves me with, I think, another two shiurim for next week, next year, Gesundheit. But the important thing over here, therefore, is the following. We are explaining the Rambam. The Rambam who says, terrible times during the period of the Greeks, Acherichem Hashem Elokei Avoteinu, until the God of our fathers had mercy upon them, and Vahushia Miyadam Vihitzilam. You know, when you read the Rambam, it's amazing. Just look at it once more. On first side, page 7, Acherichem Aleim Elokei Avoteinu, Vahushia Miyadam Vihitzilam. The Rambam is already talking as though they've been saved and rescued already. And only after that, the Rambam tells us the story of Bnei Chashmonai going out to wage war. Because as long as the decision has been made in heaven, Richam Aleihem, the cause is there. The effect is going to be that the Chashmonaim are now going to be able to wage war with Greece. Not the other way around. It's not because the Chashmonaim waged war where they were victorious. Just as the Beis HaLevi says, because the 2 years of Yosef's imprisonment were up, therefore Paro dreams. It's not because Paro dreams, therefore Yosef is free from prison. Because Jewish history does not work chronologically or linearly. Jewish history works in the fascinating and unique way of a Rebbeinu Shlom who makes the decision. The decision, in other words, because the Rebbeinu Shlom has made a decision that Yosef has to be freed from prison, the latter event is that which dictates the former events. Just as Richam Aleihem, Hashem Elokei Avoteinu, therefore, Gavru B'nei Chashmonai.